Good evening, everyone. This is the National Finance Committee meeting of Tuesday, July 28th, 2015. My name is Brian Edwards-Tiekert. I'm the chair of the committee. I'm going to ask our secretary, R. Paul Martin, to please call the roll.
Okay, Lydia Bazan.
Here.
Adriana Kasanov.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Brian Edwards-Tiekert.
Here.
R. Paul Martin. Here. Tony Norman.
Present.
Michael Novick.
Present.
Serene Roberts. Nancy Sorden.
Here.
Barbara Wipperman. So that's eight. That's a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I sent out a proposed agenda for tonight's meeting on Sunday. Can I have a motion to adopt it?
So moved.
Does anyone wish to propose? That was Michael Novick. Does anyone wish to propose any changes to that agenda?
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Yes, I would like to add the motion that I noticed to the committee to reconsider the terms of repaying the advance from PPFA.
Okay. Where would you like to put that?
I'm driving, so I don't have the agenda in front of me. Access the agenda. What is the agenda?
The agenda is minutes approval, review of financial income statements, and KPFK discussion.
Okay. Then I would like it right after minutes approval so we can dispense with that.
Okay. Proposed time limit for it?
5 minutes. I don't think it's controversial.
Okay. The proposal is to add an item as item 3.1.
How about C?
Okay, 3C. Audit loan from KPFA. With a time limit of 5 minutes. Does anyone object to that?
Okay, wait a minute, because I wrote something else down. I wrote what she said.
That's fine. What you said is fine.
Okay. I have add motion to reconsider the advance from KPFA 3C 5 minutes.
Sounds good.
The terms of repayment so that it doesn't read as if we're reconsidering the advance. Heaven forbid.
there's a train passing and I can't hear, so hold on a second. Okay. Can you say that again, please?
It's a motion to reconsider repayment of the terms.
Repayment, okay. It's a motion to reconsider repayment of the terms.
Okay, repayment terms.
Repayment terms. Yeah, I don't want to read like we're reconsidering the motion.
It's a motion to reconsider repayment terms from KPFA?
Perfect. Thank you.
That's good. That's what we got.
Okay. Is there any objection to that?
You know, point of information. I think that's already on the draft agenda you sent out. Isn't that 3B2?
No, this is FN Larina.
Oh, from Lydia. Okay. Right. Never mind.
Yeah.
Any objections to it? Hearing none, that amendment's now made. I want to propose a change. I just spoke to KPFK's general manager about the structure of our agenda, and she thought the best way to discuss the situation in KPFK publicly would be for her to take questions during our review of the financial statements, which is where we have the best numbers we have about KPFK in terms of what she can talk about publicly. And then she'll have a more complete presentation on plans for the future in executive session. So I would propose to strike the KPFK crisis discussion and increase the time allotted to income statement review by 15 minutes. Is there any objection to doing that?
What's the time now?
Hold on. Could you say that again? We're striking KPFK crisis discussion and doing what?
Strike item 5, KPFK crisis discussion, and increase the time allotment for review for item four, review of June year-to-date budget versus actual, by 15 minutes.
I have a question.
What's your question, Serene?
The crisis discussion was going to take 15 minutes. What's that for 15?
It was going to take 20.
Okay. Okay, good. Thanks.
So that's an increase. So you're adding 15 to...
Item 4.
Well, it's
going to
be a 35-minute item, not number 4.
Yep.
Okay.
Is that enough time?
I don't know, but we have a time certain adjournment for that executive session, so...
Well, I just don't want to cut it short if we need more discussion on that. I don't know. I don't know what is what's going to come up.
Well, you can propose to change the length of time, but we can't push off that executive session without a two-thirds vote.
Well, I guess I'll amend we give the push off the executive session by 15 minutes if we need it, if needed for the public.
So you want to wait to make that motion until we're in a position to know if we need it?
Well, it takes two-thirds then.
It takes two-thirds now, too, because it's been noticed separately.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I'll move to extend the adjournment time 15 minutes of the open session, if we need it, if needed.
Okay. That is a motion to change the time of adjournment. I don't think that's an agenda amendment. But, as I said, it will require a two-thirds vote, and I don't believe it's debatable. Does anyone object to pushing back the public adjournment time by 15 minutes?
Okay, question. I have a question. Okay, so
yes,
the motion on the floor at this point is to... I'm going between two different things here. We have six adjourned to executive session, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. And so the motion is to make that, make number six adjourn at what time?
9:45 Eastern.
Who's making the motion?
Bill Crozier.
Okay, I got it.
Doesn't give us much time.
Any objection?
Yes, this is Lydia. I object.
Okay. Let me suggest this, folks. Taking a roll call will take time. We may not need the time, but, Bill, can we wait to put this to a vote until we're at 6:30?
Yeah, that's okay with me. Okay.
Okay. Then we're on to my proposed amendment, which is the... striking the KPFK crisis discussion and adding 15 minutes to the review of financial statements. Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing none, that amendment's now incorporated into the agenda. Any further amendments to the agenda?
Well,
what's your question, please?
What's your question, Serene?
Okay, I'm sorry, I was a little late getting on a call, so I don't know what the... did with regard to the amendment of the minutes. I'm not going to confirm that. I'm asking if I need to give formal notice or how that would work. It's the June 23rd minutes that I wanted to amend.
You need to submit the amendments in writing if you want it to be a simple majority vote. And it needs to be prior notice, which means it needs to go out in the call to the meeting, or they need to be read into the record at the meeting proceeding.
Okay, my question is, since I gave notice during our last meeting, and I'm not prepared to deal with that today, do I need to, if this conversation, therefore, does this constitute notice of my...
No, your notice has to include the content of the motion. Saying I want to take the minutes back up is not enough. It has to say specifically what changes you're proposing.
Okay. So it's struck off of this tonight's agenda, because I'm not going to be doing that tonight. We're not going to be dealing with that. So is it removed? 3B?
Sure. Roberts moves striking 3B from the agenda. Is there any objection?
Objection.
Paul, you object to striking 3B?
Yeah. Let's get this over with. Everybody will have seen the emails that I sent and the refutation of what's been said. Why start pushing this thing into the future when anybody who's listened to the several seconds of audio that I've posted will say that, oh, well, you know, what's been proposed here as not having happened, happened. So let's get it over with.
Mr. Chair?
Serene, for the debate?
Briefly. And Lydia, I was on the meeting, and I heard portions of the meeting. The statement that is alleged to have been made by the ED was not made by the ED.
We're not debating the merits of the amendment.
No. Let me, Brian, please. I'm not prepared with the precise language or the times when this occurred through the meeting, so there really is no point in trying to deal with it tonight. It is a waste of time.
Okay, folks, let's not spend 5 minutes debating a five-minute agenda item. Lydia, you wanted more debate?
I was just going to say that I would favor postponing it as well, because I personally consider announcing something, and I thought that was my understanding in Robert's, if you announce it at the previous meeting, that any motion is considered notice. So for that reason, I would prefer waiting until we have what those changes are. So I support postponing. Thank you.
Okay, the motion is to strike item 3B from the agenda. Mr. Secretary, can you call the roll?
Okay, so the motion is to strike. The motion is to strike the item amendment re-Armanino payments and amendment re-auto audit financing on the agenda. Lydia Bazan.
Leslie Radford here from KPFK.
Yes, I vote yes to strike.
Adriana Kasanov.
Yes.
Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Brian Edwards-Tiekert.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin. No. Tony Norman.
Yes.
Michael Novick.
Yes.
Michael Novick?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah. There's Morse code coming in here. Serene Roberts.
Yes.
Nancy Sorden.
Yes.
Okay. 8-4, one against.
Okay, any further amendments to the agenda?
Serene. Yeah.
Yes, Serene?
There were two really quick and I think non-controversial motions that I had asked be sent, and they are on the agenda, but I'm wondering if we could deal with it just briefly at the top instead of at the bottom.
You need to propose a position and a length of time.
Sure. The 5 minutes that were assigned in the draft are fine, and I would like us to do it immediately after amending, approving the agenda.
Okay. The proposal is to take what's currently listed as items 6A and 6B and put them immediately after item 2, so they would become item 2A and 2B. Is there any debate on this?
I'm sorry, what is being moved? What are the things that are being put in that position after the...
Take the two items that are in new business and put them immediately after agenda approval.
One, right, but what are they probably driving? Yes, what are the two items?
And so they have the unit.
Brian?
The first is regarding the process by which financial reports are sent to unit heads. The second is regarding the circumstances under which the Pacifica Radio Archives director and or business manager are invited onto our meetings.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Bill, yeah, I object. I think we need to give more time to talk about our finances at KPFK, and that can wait.
Okay, Paul, can you call the roll, please?
Okay, hold on. Something just fell here. Oh, crap. Yeah, I'm looking at, okay, so, see, here's the deal. You're saying move 6A and 6B to someplace, but we know what that means, but for the minutes, we don't put in draft minutes and then the other minutes. What we do is we show the agenda. And so, in order to make it coherent, we're gonna have to include, the whole motion here, so people understand that, right? In other words, the minutes are going to have to say, to move 6A, Roberts, that financial reports, blada, and 6B, Roberts, that whatever, the finances. And that's all going to be in there like that. So we all understand this, right?
I think everyone appreciates the amount of detail that you put into your minutes.
Apparently not everyone. All right, so... all right, now something fell here, so give me a second while I... Oh, God. Oh, boy. Okay, I'll call a roll now. To move these two items to right after the agenda. Lydia Bazan.
No.
Adriana Kasanov.
Yes.
Bill Crozier.
Sorry, no.
Brian Edward Steakert?
No.
R. Paul Martin, no. Tony Norman?
Abstain.
Michael Novick?
Abstain.
Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Nancy Sorden?
Abstain.
Barbara Whipperman? Okay, it's 2-4, 4 against, 3 abstentions.
Amendment fails. Are there any further amendments to the agenda? Well, we're at our time on agenda approval anyway. We'll have to go to a vote on the agenda as amended. Is there any objection to the agenda as amended? Hearing none, the agenda is now approved. We're on to minutes approval. About 9 a.m. this morning Eastern, Arpal sent out minutes from our last meeting, July 14th, 2015. Do I have a motion to approve them?
I move to postpone. When would that be appropriate?
I think you can postpone a motion until it's on the floor.
I move to postpone.
Okay, I'll make the motion to approve the minutes of July 14th. Serene, when are you moving to postpone to?
Next meeting.
Okay.
That's that 2 weeks around the August 12th or something.
Is there any objection to postponing approval of the July 14th minutes? Hearing none, approval of the July 14th minutes is now postponed to our next meeting. We are on to the motion from Lydia Bazan regarding audit. Excuse me?
No, go ahead.
Regarding audit financing, it was distributed by email at about 5... when was it distributed by email?
Earlier this afternoon, or this morning.
3:36
Eastern, on a reply thread to the agenda. Lydia, do you want to read your motion and motivate it?
No, I'm driving, so I can't read it, but I will motivate it.
I will read it. The motion is as follows. Move that the PNB reconsider the terms of repayment to KPFA for the PNB-approved advance of $55,000 from KPFA to the Pacifica National Office to pay the outstanding balance for the 2013 auditor. Instead of having its central services credited to KPFA as repayment, the PNO, upon receipt of the CPB funds, shall assign to said advance priority status in its repayment to KPFA. The Pacifica Foundation thanks KPFA for its much-needed advances to Pacifica's national office and other Pacifica units in recent months following KPFA's bequest windfall. Go ahead, Lydia.
The central services check that we passed when we approved this motion will put an undue strain on the cash flow at the national office. So it seems
the reasonable way to go is to prioritize this and take it very seriously in terms of repaying KPFA when we start receiving the PPP money, since that was the urgency, was to get, have pay what was due to the auditor from 2013 and get this thing moving so that we can get those PPP funds. So it's all interrelated, so it seems to be logical and the most prudent way to proceed. And a thank you, an important thank you to KPFA.
Bill for the stack. Can we let our ED speak about this?
I've got Bill. Who else?
Serene.
Serene, who else? Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I was just going to ask that we let our ED speak about this to see what he suggests.
No, I agree with that completely.
Serene?
Okay, so my question is for John. It's not going to delay the money coming in, correct?
No, it's in fact, it's already been taken care of.
Yes. I'm good. Thank you.
You mean KPFA has already made the advance?
They have, and we've paid the auditors today. So they're going to get busy immediately.
Mazel tov.
Yep. Hallelujah, I said.
All right. Any objection to this motion? Hearing none, the motion's now passed. And we are on to financial statement review. So on Sunday night, I got June financial statements from Efren, who apparently goes into the office on Sunday nights.
Brian, if I might mention, I invited Efren on my behalf to be on the call with us tonight, so he's on the line also and can answer questions.
Great. Good thinking. And that was I sent that in a spreadsheet to the rest of you on Sunday night, although if you're on the East Coast, it may have arrived early Monday morning. Has everyone received a copy of the spreadsheet?
Yes.
Okay. Let me pull my copy up. So we've got 35 minutes for this. That would be roughly 5 minutes per unit, although I think we're going to want to spend more time discussing some units than others. I would like to propose that since the main topic of our meeting tonight is going to be the station situation at KPFK, and since the general manager from KPFK has already wasted some of her time listening to us argue about procedure, that we go through KPFK's financial statements first, so we can dispose of any questions members have that should be asked in public, and she can take a breather before we get into the executive session. Anyone have a problem with going in that order? Okay. Then we will start with KPFK. I'll take a stack on questions. All right. The highlights, folks. KPFK through June was raising more money than budgeted by $34,000. And spending more money than budgeted to the tune of $284,000, producing a total debt of $250,000. I think the most notable thing is that the deficit has not really grown over the past 2 months. So some of the areas of overspending appear to have shrunk, and we're seeing the results of the April emergency fund drive, which was not a budgeted fund drive. Leslie, anything you feel the committee should know or the public should know about the numbers in here?
I'm sitting here waiting for your questions.
If I might make a comment, Brian.
Yes.
I just want to commend Leslie for her diligent work over the past couple of months in dealing this problem. She's been a real trooper in getting down into the trenches. She and I have looked at the figures and tried to do our best to reverse that precipitous decline. So thanks, Leslie.
Thank you, John.
Well, this is Bill. I had some questions. I was going to let her talk first, but if you want to take questions first, that's fine with me.
Go ahead, Bill.
Okay. Well, I was thinking that it looked like for in FY14, sorry to go back that far, but it went from a $600,000 deficit to about $250,000. And I'm just wondering if it was because things were missing that got added, or and I was wondering about the outsourced phone, the fund drive expenses for FY14, for example, and the unbudgeted advertising. I'm just wondering how complete that is, and also for this year too, of course.
Bill, I'm not tracking your numbers. It says a deficit of $267,809 in FY13 and $267,054.
Well, I was comparing to a previous
in FY14
previous statement that I don't have in front of me that that we had gotten. But I guess my basic question is that is it all up to date now for both FY14 and FY15, because I think some numbers were missing previously, and I wasn't sure about
updated.
That.
Updated.
Efren,
the figures were updated.
Sorry, that's Efren Urena's accountant and controller in the national office. The 14 figures are updated from what we've seen before?
Yeah. Some figures were updated because the stations, they entered some adjustments because we are preparing now for the fiscal 14 audit, and some figures were updated.
Yes, people remember there was a memo that went out. They closed the books on 14 and asked the stations to carry some figures over into the current fiscal year so that they could close the books.
I beg your pardon?
Yes.
I remember there was a memo that went out that they had to book some things are being booked in the current fiscal year because they had to close the books on 2014.
You mean the books are still open? We closed the books only after the audit, so that when we prepared the audit schedules, when we see items for adjustments, we adjust them.
So as far as you know, Efren, are there any expenses recorded in FY15 that should be in 14?
No. I would say no, because if they apply to fiscal year 2015, then we record them only in 2015. But if we say, let's say, assuming we see income or expense accounts recorded in 2015, which we find to be belonging to 2014, since the 2014 fiscal year is still open, we reclassify those items, income or expense.
Okay. Other questions for Efren or Leslie on KPFK?
Adriana?
I've got Adriana. Anyone else? Go ahead, Adriana.
Yes. First of all, thank you for saying at least the revenue is up. That is very, very, very important. But I'm curious about the total salary going up like almost 9%. Do you know why? What is that?
And looking back over what has happened, it appears that people were jobbed in for short terms, and salary was added on that basis. We do have a surplus of staff compared to the budgeted items, and I'm not quite sure how that happened, but most of the short-term hires are now no longer working here.
Okay. My question is because I see that the biggest increase have to do with health benefits, and I want to know if it's something different about that or why is that the big jump, obviously, is in health benefit. Did you change providers or the policies or something like that? Or
Efren, that was before my time. Do you know anything about that?
There is no change in the provider. The health providers are still the same.
There was a change in the union contract negotiated by the... Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, there was a contractual change where a number of the part-time board operators were added to the benefits package that was unanticipated when the budget was first drafted.
Okay, thank you.
Leslie, do you have an estimate of the total like monthly savings from the temporary positions you've closed?
Not cumulatively, no. We've dropped about 3/4 of a position since I've been here, half a position, and about 2 smaller data entry positions are gone. Not significant since June 1st, but...
And no benefits attached to either of those?
No benefits attached to either of those. We are almost entirely now on union staff, held to the union contract. We have some occasional fill-in board ops who are not union. We have one position who is not union who is filling in for somebody on maternity leave.
And is your business manager being paid as a contractor or an employee?
As a contractor.
So that's not showing up in the salaries?
Right. That's showing up, I believe, under administrative expenses, accounting services.
Accounting, yeah. Michael, is back?
I've got Michael. Who else?
And Bill, again, after everybody else.
Adriana,
I've got Michael, Bill, Adriana. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Michael.
I guess my question has to do with really cash flow, in the sense that there was a deficit shown through fiscal year 2013. There was a deficit in 2014 of $267,000, and we're obviously running a deficit now. And so I'm wondering how we're handling all those obligations.
Well, we're making payment arrangements. We're borrowing money from KPFA. You know, I have arrangements with more than half of our creditors right now to make partial payments over time. That's the best we can do at this point. Surprisingly, we are getting slightly caught up, not in terms of dollars, but in terms of payment. We have fewer payments than 90-plus days out. So we've got a little more wiggle room with what we're doing.
Aside from central services, do you know the total amount of past due payments you have stacked up?
Yeah. Past due right now, we have $253,434.07.
Wow. Could you repeat that number again?
253,434.07. That includes $72,000 to KPFA. It also includes $147 in change to Central Services.
Okay. Bill. Bill Crozier.
Sorry, it takes me a minute to unmute.
You have to take yourself off mute,
yes,
sir.
Yes, all right. Okay, well, I guess that partly answered my question. So that 253, I was asking about Central Services. So there still haven't been any payments made this year on Central Services. Is that correct?
We've made some partial payments along the way.
Okay, but the $253,000 includes whatever portion of unpaid Central Services there are for this year?
Yes.
Okay, and then there's additional deficit from last year, though, too, right?
Yes, and that's not rolled in.
Yeah, because I know the income statement shows a really big deficit for actually the last several years, as Michael was talking about, but it doesn't tell about the cash flow. So I was wondering about that. Let me ask another question. What I was originally asking, wanted to ask about was Sonali Kalahargar's TV show. I know the expenses KPFK pays the expenses, but what happens to the revenue for that? Is it recorded in here in the income statement somehow?
It's recorded under several items, as far as I can tell, and I have not dug through that completely at this point. But the revenue streams are coming in under, let me see here.
And I guess my main question is, how much is the net benefit to the station of that? Or is it costing more than it's bringing in?
That's an analysis I have yet to do, because there are three or four revenue streams, including a speaker series, that I need to total up over the year and see how that plays out.
Because that's
and there are some strange costs that are in odd places as well.
Because
under programming services, for instance, we have an assistant that works with her who is paid paid indirectly by FSPV, so it doesn't fall under employee. It's a kind of confusing bookkeeping thing here that I indeed need to straighten out.
Yeah, because it's a nice experiment, but we need to kind of know how it works, because, you know, if it gets replicated elsewhere or even there, we need to know if it's actually benefiting the station financially, and because you have to add up all the expenses.
I will get back to you on that. Right. You're absolutely right. I need to do that analysis.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Adriana is next.
Yes. Well, the total amount that you gave us, that is the past due, obviously include KPFA, you say repayment, and the national office about the central service, right? It means that the due, if you discount those two, I don't say that they are not important, obviously, but if you discount those two, I think that the difference is really not that much, right?
It is much less, yes.
Okay.
If I go back and I'm just doing it right now, I subtract those, we're down to about past due amount, about $86,000.
Perfect. Okay. My other question was already answered before. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Adriana. I had two questions for you, Leslie. One was, what's the likelihood of, like, surprise past due bills showing up?
I think at this point, almost none. Almost. I mean, it's a surprise,
I
can't say for sure there aren't any, but as far as I can tell, everything has been invoiced properly at this point.
And how much of a backlog on premium orders do you have? Have you tried to quantify that?
Sure. Premium orders, backlog, we're at about... $35,000.
And how far back do unordered premiums go in time?
Back before February or to February.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
And what are the plans going forward in terms of a budget for premiums? Have you been able to reduce that?
A budget for what? I'm sorry?
For premiums.
Yeah, we're doing this fund drive on a very reduced premium budget. We've reduced it to $36,000, I believe, which, we're looking at a goal that is probably unrealistic of $750,000. If you do the math of 1 to 10 on a premium ratio, that would mean that $360,000 of that will come in requesting a premium. The remainder of our goal needs to come in without premiums. But yes, we have cut back on premium expenses extensively.
And how is the current fund draft doing?
Not nearly as well as I'd like.
What daily averages are you running so far?
About 18,000 a day.
Michael, did you want to be on stack?
No, I was going to say the same thing. There have been several 20-plus days, but the weekend was kind of low, so it brought the average down to about 18.
And have you all done any cash flow forecasting, like at 20 days, 18,000 a day, if your pledge total is 360, does that keep you ahead of your bills till the next fund drive?
No, not at this rate. I set the goal at 750 because that's what we need to get us to the end of September.
Okay.
And this is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
So, diminishing returns aside, which we know that happens with these endless fund drives we've been having, but can you extend the fund drive?
I can go. We're looking at right now at finishing this on the 10th of August. I would go another 6 days, but not more than that.
And when is your next fund drive? October?
It's scheduled for October 1st.
We had talked about a call-out campaign to LEPS. Fund drive is over.
The LEPS member campaign.
Yeah, we went ahead and emailed them, didn't have much success that way. And frankly, we need to buy stationery to send them letters. So we're waiting on the fund drive to buy the stationery.
Bill.
Can we just be called? Oh, I'm sorry, Lydia.
Okay, I heard Bill, then I'll come back to you, Lydia. Anyone else for Stack? Okay, go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we talked a few months ago that it looked like some personnel cutbacks were inevitable. I know you can't go into specifics here in open session, but is there anything else that you can cut? I know the answering service, not the answering service, you know, the call center for taking pledges, that's gone now, right? And it's not coming back,
that's
I
gone
guess?
Gone now. Been okay. Gone for a couple of months. We're still paying the bills on it, but it's gone.
Yeah, okay. Well, I was wondering if there's any other thing else that you can think of to cut besides personnel, and also if you're looking at other revenue, for example, or you have a plan for contacting major donors or anything like that to help boost the revenue up some?
Well, I had a conversation with Sputnik Radio yesterday, and unfortunately I don't think that's going to work for us. We were hoping for some rebroadcast there, but they want some control over programming that I don't think we should give up. I have talked to Liberty Hill about setting up a donor-advised giving program, and we're going to follow through with them on that. Our big concern right now is that we need to show that we have a plan to get us to a balanced budget before I can really approach major donors. Obviously, as long as our expenses are outstripping our income and we haven't taken any definitive action here, I can't really walk up to somebody and say, give us $10,000 to make it through this month, because at that point they're going to ask me, what are you going to do next month? So we need to take some action here. I have some plans in that regard. Foundations are even trickier because we don't have a current audit.
Lydia, you're next.
Yes. It has been my experience that for lapsed members, that phone calls are more effective given our email list in the whole foundation when Arlene was ED proved to be very minimal, actually. And so I'm not surprised that we didn't get much from that. And certainly letters would be good. I think a letter to accompany the election ballot that is different from the one the whole foundation is sending, but something very specific to KPFK's urgent needs. And then in terms of lapsed donors, I really think that there needs to be some effort to make actual phone calls. That personal touch, preferably by, it really makes a difference.
I would be happy, Lydia, to leave the phone room available if the LSB wants to come in for a day to handle that.
Yeah. Okay.
That's, sorry, who was that?
I was going to say that could be a good board project.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be excellent, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. Any further questions on KPFK before we move on to the other units? All right. Thank you both, Efren, for helping us straighten out the numbers, and to our new general manager in KPFK, Leslie, for getting up to her elbow so quickly in the finances. We'll go back to the order on the sheet. KPFA is next. Because of that endowment income, we are showing a large bottom line positive variance of, at this point, sorry, oh, I'm on the wrong tab. I was wondering why we're showing a giant deficit. Positive variance of $700,000. That unfortunately is not money in our bank account, because when the endowments came in, we spent a bunch of money catching up on bills, and then advanced a bunch of money to other parts of the network, including KPFT, KPFK, and the national office. So our business manager did a cash flow forecast for us that shows us good through the beginning of our fall fund drive, able to stay current with all expenses. And this is after advancing $55,000 for paying the auditors, but really with no money to spare after that, beyond that. So, you know, the one thing I would put out there is we can't afford any surprises. If any part of the network is in a situation where it knows that it won't be able to make payroll between now and the start of their next fund drive, we need to hear about it. We need to start planning for it, because there's not excess cash to cover it in these accounts. Any questions on KPFK's numbers? KPFA's numbers, sorry. Okay, we'll move on to KPFT. KPFT, after three quarters, is showing a negative bottom line variance of $188,000, but $200,000 of that is the capital campaign KPFK had budgeted to pay for its transmitter. It's not right. Money that they were counting on for operations. With that factored out, KPFT is slightly positive. Bill, any further details you want to fill us in on?
Right. Well, that's a good summary. The income statement shows a slight profit for the first 9 months of the year. What we have so far, about $26,000 of our revenue over expenses, and thanks to KPFA's loan and some other money we had saved, and a crowdfunding campaign that we have going now. It looks like we'll be able to get our new transmitter shortly. We started a crowdfunding campaign 11 days ago, and we've gotten over $1,000 a day on the average. So our goal was just to raise 20, but we'd like to raise more because we have some other needs that we'd like to pay for also this year. But I guess that's going pretty well. And we have a fund drive. I believe it's 8 days. It's going to start on, I believe, Sunday on the 2nd.
What's your goal on that, Trev?
Oh, gosh, I don't remember. Let me get back to that on that. I'll check while you're talking about other things.
Any questions on KPFT?
Michael,
who else?
Adriana,
who else? All right. We'll take Michael, we'll take Adriana, then we'll have to vote on extending time. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, I guess my question is still about the transmitter. You're saying that the negative balance is basically because of the $200,000 that was budgeted for the transmitter project, but there's an indebtedness now to KPFA, and there was also the share that KPFB still had to come up with. So I'm wondering still how that's, you know, how it's being covered going forward to repay KPFA and to cover the KPFB share.
Okay, it's a little hard to hear you, but we do plan on starting to repay monthly payments to KPFA. I believe it's after the transmitter's operational. I can't remember exactly the specifics that our GM and the KPFA GM worked out, but we'll be paying that monthly payments. We had some other money we had accumulated and sort of put aside. Some of it was not really restricted, but it was, you know, we're re-aggregating that to come up with the money. We needed about $180,000 for the transmitter just to pay for it. And then this crowdfunding campaign, we should get to $20,000 here shortly, which is the remaining amount that we needed to pay the manufacturer. Was that your question then?
Yeah, so you're saying that once the transmitter's in, then going forward, that would be part of your operating expenses, in a sense, is paying off the loan to KPFA?
Yes, and it's already worked into our FY16 budget, although that's
the budget.
It's been going through several revisions because of changes in the template from the national office. And I did look up the goal, and it's $180,000, 180, for this, we call it a summer sizzle fund drive. We usually do about a one-week drive in August, and that's what that is.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Bill. So just to clarify, is the transmitter en route? Is it ordered?
It's under construction. I think it's supposed to be shipped in a couple of weeks. That was what Dwayne had told me.
Great. Adriana.
Yes. Well, I can see that all the other items of revenue, only the listener support is up. The rest is all down, but that's not the big problem. What I see is the health benefit went almost 30% up. Do you have a clue why? It's almost $27,000 up, 30%. Up about the compared with the budgeted amount. Do you know what is that? The same with administrative expenses, that is 7.3% up. Consultants went up, was nothing budgeted, and it's up 11,500. Programming service added almost $5,000. Credit card discount is 50% up, and credit by charges is $6,000 up. Do you have a clue why were those changes for?
Okay, could you do those one at a time? Because I'm sorry, I was losing you there.
Health benefit, 27% up.
No, I don't know why that is, except that, you know, there's frequently changes. Sometimes people move between part-time and full-time status, but I don't know for sure.
Can you tell us exactly how many full-time and how many part-time KPFTs have?
Well, not exactly, because, again, it fluctuates a little bit right now. We have an opening for a part-time operations person right now. It's being filled. It's already been filled, but I'm not sure what the status is on that, for example. I mean, I can check. I mean, it hasn't changed much over the last 2 years, but I can check on that if you want.
That's okay.
Dwayne would be the one to tell us.
Okay. Wednesday in our, Thursday, I'm sorry, in our finance committee meeting, we can have all of that.
Right.
The second one was administrative expenses, 7.3% up.
Well, yeah. Well, the budget was $111,000. So far, we're at $119,000.
$8,000 up, yeah.
I mean, it's not very different, but...
It looks like it's all consultants and bank charges.
Yeah, and I think I think we're paying our engineer as a consultant, if I remember correctly. The bank charges, I did confirm that. That was the big bank fee that we had in, I believe it was March, was from the director's inspection for all those checks that you requested, Adriana. And so that was a significant amount.
Bill, please don't spread lies and rumors in these committees in the air. I didn't request any check copies. No, Bill, please.
Well, let's talk later, but I have it in writing.
No, I'm sorry. We have here the executive director, and I think that he knows the issue. Please stop spreading those things. I have a director's inspection, yes, but you know what? I never requested. I never asked for the station to spend $6,000 in copies. No, I never did. Okay? And I think that we shouldn't be paying it. But that is my position. It's a different, but please do not spread, because it's not true. We can go with the rest. Programming services is up $5,000.
Do you have a line reference?
Yes.
Oh, I see. It's row 82 in the spreadsheet.
82.
Bill, do you know?
No, I don't know what that is. I'm sorry. But, yeah, we can ask Dwayne. That's...
Looks like it's a constant monthly charge. $543.
Right, and I don't know why it shows zero for the budget. But, you know, we have to pay for our satellite fee and... Well, that's a separate line, though. And
No, it's a different line.
I don't know.
No.
That's true.
Okay. What else? Anything else, Adriana?
No, thank you.
All right, thank you. At this point, if we want to go on to the other units, we should... extend time. Bill had a motion that we carried over for a 15-minute extension of the public session. Motion to extend time is not debatable. Is there any objection to extending by 15 minutes? Hearing none, we are extended till 10 of. Any further questions on KPFT, or can we move on? Next tab in the spreadsheet is WBAI. On revenue to date, short by $479,000. On expenses, under budget by $87,000. And on net, off budget by $392,000. And there are about 100 in arrears on this year's central services. Any questions that our Paul might be able to answer, or if...
Maybe some information?
Sure, go for it.
I don't have... the situation with getting information is the same as it was at the last meeting. These numbers are getting a little redder. We're in an on-air fundraiser at this moment. It's scheduled to go to this Sunday, to end this Sunday, but we haven't not extended a on-air fundraiser for a long time. The bottom line is that after eight days that I have of pitching, we're at $67,000, which comes out to about $8,400 a day. And this is certainly a lot less than the $15,476 that has been budgeted. So basically this particular on-air fundraiser is doing rather poorly. And that's the bottom line I can give you on this. We're still waiting for the QuickBooks to get done, and so that the general manager can give us some information. We do have a local finance committee meeting this Thursday, so I am hoping we're going to find out more information by then.
That's what I know about.
Questions on BAI?
Brian, I can give some more information if you'd like. Not a question.
That would be great. Go ahead, John.
Sure. As some of you may know, I was went out to New York a couple of weeks ago for a in-person meeting at BAI, and also trying to assist with the various negotiations involving the transmitter for WBAI. I really cannot go into much detail in open session, but we can certainly do it in the executive session if you like. But the actual liability of the current lease that WBAI is operating under is quite frankly, it's staggering. BAI has been on a partial payment plan for a number of months. And,
transfer. I am sorry. That's not a valid extension. Please try again.
Hello?
Yeah, we're all still here.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry about that. That wasn't me. I don't know what caused that.
I think that's Michael's music.
I think it's just a matter of grave concern for Pacifica that the contractual liability for WBAI is the figure that's been bandied about has been about $300,000, which is reflected, I believe, in the budget. But in reality, the lessor that holds the contract claims it's a much larger number. Now, we're in the midst of ongoing negotiations to make adjustments to this with the cooperation of the lessor, and I don't have any idea how successful those negotiations will be, but if we were held to that contract as written, it would be extremely difficult to operate. But this is something that Berthold and I and Andrea Katz have met on extensively, and I think that we're going to have to, at this point, hope that the negotiations for a renegotiation of that lease is successful. So if I can give you more details perhaps in executive session, but just let you know that is a big concern, and the actual state of deficit is based on some earlier information and the most recent information from our meeting face-to-face with the lessor was that they claim a significantly higher figure as being the arrears for that contract.
So, John, I think that would be a great briefing to have in executive session. We need to know what our exposure is. I don't think we can probably get it on our plate tonight, but if you're amenable, I'd like to schedule a similar executive session to
sure.
the one we're having tonight, but on WBAI for our next meeting.
It sounds good.
Maybe you could loop in WBAI management for that as well.
Yes, I'd be happy to do that. But I just mentioned that I am going on before I assume the job here as ED, I had a pre-planned vacation trip to Europe starting in mid-August. So if we can schedule it before August 14th, that would be very helpful. Otherwise, it would have to be after September 7th when I return.
Let me check the date.
Sure.
We are
for
scheduled to meet August 11th.
Perfect. That is fine.
Okay. I will make a motion to notice an executive session for discussing negotiations at WBAI.
Sounds good.
For 6:30 on August the 11th. Is there any objection to that?
Hold on. Okay, so the motion is to notice an executive session for a discussion of negotiations at WBAI for... Okay,
9:30 p.m. Eastern.
Okay, 9:30 Eastern on August 11th. So notice, you're moving that. We notice executive session for discussion of negotiations at WBAI for 9:30 Eastern on August 11th.
Correct.
All right.
Is there any objection to that? Okay. Hearing none, that's what we'll do. And while we're on BAI, I just wanted to flag, John, another concern I had, which is on the income side. WBA has made more strides than pretty much anyone else in terms of cutting down their expenses, but with the historical data that Efren gave us in this batch of documents, the trend on revenues just looks totally depressing.
It's 2012. Yes, it is.
In 2012, it's $3.3 million. In 2013, it's $2.8 million. In 2014, it's $2.3. And over the past 12 months, so the year ending in June, it's $1.6 million. If we don't fix that, it doesn't matter what we knock our bills down to. We're not going to be able to pay them.
That's a fairly accurate analysis, Brian. I think you're right. And we had lengthy discussions about the causes of the problem and the potential cures, if any. So,
any other questions on BAI?
Our Paul.
Hello.
Go ahead, our Paul.
Yeah, the fact of BAI's falling revenues is not new. This is something we've been talking about. It's been talked about since before before I was on the NFC. So I know it's been getting talked about seriously for more than a decade here. And yes, this is something that has to be dealt with. Put it this way. There's been no training at WBAI, no real training for the staff for a long time, and there are a lot of people on the air who go from, walking off the street, and they're on the air, and there's nothing in between, and it shows.
Yes.
And we need to have training for people at BAI. All sorts of people at BAI could use some training. So, the basic bottom line is, it's the air. We have one product, it's the air. We have to improve the product somehow.
Yes.
End of speech.
If I might comment, one of the pleasures of at WBAI was a chance to meet with individual that the Bear told us the staff has identified as a replacement for the program director position. Janine strikes me as an extremely talented, motivated, and strategic thinker in terms of programming. And I think one of the reasons I'm very cautiously hopeful is that I think that given determination on her part and being backed by management and me, that some improvement in those issues of staff training, programming planning, and quite frankly, programming improvement can be made. And Paul, you're exactly right. That's essential to any hope of turning things around.
Serene, please.
Go ahead, Serene, and then it will likely be at time.
Okay, so I did want to point out that in the past 6 years, there's been no permanent program director at WBAI, save for a six-month period when someone was hired into a permanent position. So that's 6 months over the past 6 years. Last year, about this time, Mario Murillo came in as interim program director and was able to make significant portions of our radio day much more listenable than it had been. The person who has apparently replaced him, and I say apparently because nothing has been presented to the LSD that I'm aware of by way of the process by which that determination was made, the person who has replaced him since then, I guess, is who John's referring to. And the LSD has finally, after much pausing, much delay, much totally unnecessary and impossible to understand delay because programming is our product. So why there had been such tremendous resistance to getting a search for a permanent person on the way is just impossible for me to understand. But finally,
yep,
there has been some movement in that regard. So we're looking forward to bringing in, a qualified professional on a permanent basis. And I would expect that that would have an effect on the on what we are able to produce, both in terms of audience and in terms of fundraising. But I would not say that everyone who is relatively new is problematic, nor would I say that people who have been there for decades aren't necessarily all great at fundraising. So I wouldn't use the same
You're absolutely correct on all accounts. You're absolutely correct.
Okay. We're just about out of time on our extension. So if you want further discussion on WBAI, WPFW, the National Office, or the Archives, which are the remaining units we have, we'll have to take a motion to extend. We do have heavy items to discuss in executive session as well. Does anyone want to propose extending, or should we pick this up in 2 weeks? All right, I'm not hearing a motion to extend.
This is Nancy. I move to take them up in 2 weeks. I will have more information at that point. I can't, I can give a little bit of information tonight, but I can give a much more complete answer in 2 weeks. So if we could move it till next 2 weeks, that'd be great for me.
Okay. Then we'll pick up 2 weeks from now. We're now at the adjournment time for our public session. You all should have the executive session codes in your inboxes. We'll see you there in 60 seconds.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.